Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that allows us to make a bigger contribution in the area of purpose that calls to us. Because these are times that are asking us to evolve beyond the systems and expectations that are collapsing. These are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. Today I'm speaking with Shayla Paradise, the author of Footprint of a Heart, about the 18,000 miles of hike she completed and the deepening of her connection to Mother Earth and to her own heart. With a background in musical theater, she's also a singer and just a lover of humanity. She and local musician Mateo Sandate are traveling to Hiroshima, Japan, to participate in a peace and world unity ritual in September. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. But welcome, Shayla.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you so much for having me here. This is beautiful.
You've shared with me that now at 37, you feel like this is your first year of being publicly spiritual. And, yeah. You know, that was significant to me because what I'm realizing after many years working with groups and organizations on issues of sustainability, regeneration, and personal growth, what I've encountered is that meeting the challenges we are up against on the planet, from abrupt and massive climate change and social systems collapse, is that the way forward won't be a technological fix or an economic fix. Our way forward as humanity has to do with the healing the underlying misconception of separation that drives our global culture.
Yes.
And really only through a spiritual understanding of interconnectedness, interdependence, and unity, will we know the actions to take at this kind of fraught moment in humanity, in our human story. So maybe you could share something of how that realization awakened in you through your journeys on the land.
Sure. Yeah. This is really kind of the story of my life. I was on track to kind of fit into a structure that I believed was it in musical theater and in sort of monetizing your gifts for the world. And things were going well in that. But I would stand in the dance chorus line and hear what the instructors were telling us was true, which is, you know, these are not your friends. This is your competition. And within me, there was just this, no, that's not it. That is not it. Right. And then images of clear mountain water running, and even the smells of dust in the air and this kind of full body takeover of what does feel real and true to me was so loud. Loud enough that after a couple years of going through conservatory in New York City for musical theater and then graduating and auditioning, I just hit a breakthrough. Breaking point where I just turned around in my audition line and made my way toward Montana up in Glacier National Park and made walking in the woods my priority. And that just led to more and more walking in the woods and then eventually finding a way to speak to it and sing to it and share it. Though that whole sort of monetization, that structure still shows up and it I get lost in it.
It's so strong.
Yeah.
You know, we've been enculturated in it. It's, you know, it takes a lot to really hear that message of, wait a second, this just doesn't feel like it.
Right.
Is this really it?
Yeah, I don't
this
think so.
This feels kind of empty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the actual it is such a letting go, and it's so big.
Yeah.
It's so vast, and it's such a flow
that
is always there. And so when I get to remind myself to let go. Mm-hmm. It's always there.
Yeah.
And that was really the experience that I had in Australia this spring, was a gigantic
letting go. So you got to meet an Aboriginal tribe in Australia.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, the messages that they asked you to share.
Yes, I would love to.
Yeah.
The messages were about universal healing. They were about coming to a place in human consciousness where it is time for something different than what we've been doing before. And the banner over the man who hosted this, it was called the Rainbow Corroboree on the solstice, or sorry, on the equinox. Mm. It was in March. Mm. And there was a banner over his head, Uncle Louie, our host, and it said, "One blood." And he really was sharing this message that we can't separate anymore. We can't keep squabbling over who did what to whom and who belongs where and what section of humanity you belong to. The earth doesn't see us like that.
Yeah.
So we need to work together, and we need to let down those guards. We need to just stop splitting those hairs, because it's just blocking our momentum. It's blocking our flow. Mm-hmm. And the flow is beautiful, and the flow is easy, and the flow is coming no matter what. So it's really just, how do we remind all of us that we have that in here? That even fear is full of love. So you kind of just poke a hole into the fear, because you wouldn't be so afraid if you didn't love so much.
Right.
So it's a really quick shift into the love of what you love, of letting go and letting this process take place. And
That's interesting, because fear's gotten such a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it has.
In the personal growth world.
That's so true.
Over the last, you know, decades or so.
Yeah.
And it's just another emotion.
Right.
Trying to send us a message.
Right.
And that's a beautiful way to... you know, to notice when we're in fear, that it's really coming from love, because isn't everything coming from love?
Yeah, love is the one thing that everything reduces down to.
Yes.
It's the true constant under all things. And if I'm not seeing the love, I know that I'm not looking deep enough, that I just need to go a little deeper.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that was a really beautiful ceremony, and the way that they shared it was in a creation story of the river washing away the most painful human thought, which was such a beautiful concept, taking it to the sea and letting it be cleansed. And so that energy of just kind of feeling the river and thinking about where we're blessed to live on this globe and how we're in the Colorado River watershed and what we can do to love. I mean, in my case, I every morning I love on the Crystal River and think about it making it all the way to the sea so that everything can wash and remember that it's all in flow and all together.
And that brings up such an important piece of what we can do, which is to vision.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people may be afraid to do that, or just doubt that it's useful at all.
Yeah.
And what we know about ourselves as manifestors, and you know, that important that quote that without vision the people perish.
Yeah.
So that's always been something that we know is important for us as human beings. It's part of our evolutionary process to be able to envision something that we don't have any proof necessarily is possible,
right?
But yet we can envision it anyway,
right?
And that's necessary for us right now.
Absolutely.
Is to not just be looking at what's going on and maybe feeling in despair about that, but realizing that we can vision as human beings, and that's a really necessary thing for us to do.
Absolutely.
What's been your experience with that?
That is so much of the work right now to me, is holding a vision. And I hold a vision of a world where there's a seat for everybody at the table. And I think that's an Aquarius thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm an Aquarius, and I get that. And I've been aching for that all my life.
And that's at the center of the Aquarian age
that
we're in.
Yeah. And so whatever vibrations of that I've felt in my life, I hold on to, and then I hold on to the future and the vision of us doing that together. And I see us in circles of song. I see us in circles loving the earth and telling it that we're here. Mm-hmm. The ocean and the rivers and even the dry, thirsty land mm-hmm. in some places. Just say, hey, we see you and we're here.
Yep.
And I've hold in that vision a feeling of how we innately know each other and how we innately understand each other and how we don't really need language to do it. How there's really just looking into each other's eyes can tell us the entire universe of how we relate to each other and what we are.
Yeah, it's that multidimensional communication between source, between the earth and our bodies,
right?
That sense in ways that we are beyond the five senses that we are familiar with.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what's exciting to me about what may be possible mm-hmm. is that we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, we know what's possible now.
Right.
And we also are starting to understand, even though unified field and quantum theory has been part of our scientific understanding for quite some time now, mm-hmm. and yet our culture and our way of operating as human beings doesn't reflect that.
Absolutely.
You know, doesn't reflect that understanding that we are part of a unified field. There is no separation between us. We can know each other's thoughts because there's no barrier anywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, how good are kids at it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I sometimes feel naked around a two-year-old.
Right.
Like, how did you get that? It's
totally.
Innate. It's really just our judgment thought patterns that get in the way of this magic power that we are all born with.
Yeah.
That we're never separated from. We just think we are.
Yeah. So. And we can always be blessing the earth.
Absolutely.
We can always be listening for its blessings for us.
Absolutely.
It's guidance for us.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really holding on to so much these days. And I have developed some retreats designed to help people reconnect to their indigenous relationship to the earth.
That's so great.
Especially those who feel called to serve, you know, its healing. And the retreats are an opportunity for grief work to strengthen our hearts for the trust fall we're being asked to take as humanity. And, you know, to trust that, as Mother Teresa said, there are no great acts, only small acts done with great love.
Oh.
So I feel like it's that love that is so generous that we always feel, that people feel in nature, but that we can also be imbuing the land with that too, to give it strength and resilience.
Right.
So for those just joining, this is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. I'm talking with Shayla Paradise about the healing capacity of reclaiming our relationship to the earth and to others. I want to talk a little bit about grief because when we talked, you said this beautiful thing that I've heard you say before, that grief and joy walk hand in hand. And on my retreats, we do a grief council. And what I've noticed is that after the discharge of grief, there is almost an immediate access to greater light mm-hmm. and joy. And I just wonder what your experience has been of that, or what you've noticed with other people maybe too.
Yeah, I've had an ancestral sort of release during some body work once, where I invited in my ancestors and I saw this kind of gunky yellow river break loose out of the bottom of my lungs and flow back into the earth.
Wow.
And there was a lot of prayer leading up to that for weeks, and a lot of ceremony and a lot of deep realization. And then in that moment of body work, after that break, I started laughing hysterically. And then I started to see my ancestors all around me and just kind of be like seriously, guys, it took 1 second to let go of whatever we've all been holding on to for centuries. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, because like, energy is like that. Yeah. It just moves fast. Yeah. It doesn't need a lot of, you know, fanfare.
Right. It was delightful. And yeah. And in a way, I was kind of mad. Like, I was like,
why isn't this harder? This should be harder.
Yeah. Like, that was it. And now we're free.
Yeah.
So I feel like it follows that grief breaking like a golden retriever jumping into the lake after its owner. Mm. You know, it's just like, I'm here where you are. It's that's how I relate to how joy shows up mm-hmm. when you let the grief happen.
Yeah.
It's so loyal.
Yeah.
And it's so ready.
Yeah. You can trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing that I've been aware of lately around joy is that it's such a necessary practice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like a practice, you know, like, oh, and sometimes as more privileged people on the planet, mm-hmm. we can feel like we don't deserve to have joy yeah. when there's so much suffering.
Yep.
But what we're starting to understand is that our guilt or our, you know, feelings of despair aren't a service to others in suffering.
Yeah.
Because they don't raise the vibration. And that's what we're trying to do here is evolve and raise our vibration right. so that we can manifest something new.
Yes, absolutely.
And so being in joy is actually a great service. It's a great prayer.
Absolutely. Joy is a political act right now.
So, right on.
And I relate to joy as, well, knowing that I have access to it, then I reach for joy like it's my job, because we're all connected. So if I have brothers and sisters on this globe that are in what they're in and can't get to the wide open woods like I can, then I'm going to go there
yeah.
and I'm going to carry them with me
yes.
and I'm going to open my heart
yes.
bigger, more,
yes.
you know, just to be like, this is for us. And yeah. I don't really relate to it as a self journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always walking together.
Right. Yeah.
I always like to ask my guests, what's a growth edge for you right now?
Yeah.
Because we are all, you know, the more that we're aware of those things that we are bumping up against mm-hmm. and working to heal in ourselves, you know, that's such a service. So just wondered what you could say about that.
Yeah, I am in a deep repair and healing of my relationship to the masculine.
Mm.
And the masculine within myself, the masculine of the sun in the sky, the position of the father when it comes to the routes that humanity has taken.
Yeah.
And just thinking about the love that has always been truly in it.
Yeah.
And the fear that I've had toward perhaps being controlled, or that there's some ancestral fear
mm-hmm.
in my body about it not being safe to open up vulnerably. And I'm not saying that that's not a masculine experience too, for it to not be safe to open
right.
up vulnerably.
Absolutely.
And
that's maybe one of the biggest, you know, masculine, you know, sticky points.
Exactly. Is it like, can I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Am I allowed
yep.
to do that? And so, so I'm getting to notice how beautiful the strength is, and how the father is like the sun in the sky.
Mm.
And how the sun gives until it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's really a very giving, sort of sacrificial role that our fathers have been playing throughout humanity. And they didn't necessarily want Monsanto either, you know, but they wanted to feed everybody.
Right.
You know, so they did what was asked.
Yeah.
And I'm so wanting to honor that.
Yeah.
And see the tenderness in that.
Yeah.
And be gentle with that energy.
It's interesting that you're bringing that up, because we see so much about the need for balance of the masculine and feminine,
mm-hmm.
And how so much of the attention has been on the need for the feminine to rise,
right?
And the opportunity for the feminine to rise.
Absolutely.
But that can't happen without an honoring of the masculine.
Absolutely.
We've been in this either or
right.
thing for so long.
Your
now.
Turn, my turn.
Yeah. And it, that just doesn't get us there.
Absolutely not.
If there's any there,
you're right.
It's going to be through the balance, through the yin yang.
Absolutely.
You know, the beautiful symbol that yeah. the wisdom traditions have always known.
Yeah. We go together or we don't go at all.
Exactly.
That's how it feels.
Yep.
That's what's true to yeah. me is thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and all the roles that you've played.
Yep.
And I'm here for you. And
yep.
How does a father get to be a father anymore with all mm-hmm. the things that are done for us in mm-hmm. the ways we've set things up? And now I'm just starting to recognize, like how do I let my literal dad be a dad to
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Like, what does he get to protect or provide or do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell he wants to.
Mm.
You know, that it, like he's aching for an opportunity to give. And we've all gotten so into individuality
yeah.
that it's like, well, what's left?
Right. Or critics? Self-sufficiency.
Yeah. I can
you
do
know?
It by myself.
We can't be our sacred feminine
yeah.
without the support
yeah.
of the sacred masculine, without the holding of space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's been amazing to
that's
be with.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about this trip to Japan.
Yeah.
In September
Yay.
For the equinox.
Yeah.
Beautiful time for
yes.
a ritual.
Yeah. We are so blessed to
what will happen? And you were in Hiroshima last year.
Yeah,
just
Mateo
went
and
on
I
your own,
went
on
together
your own.
And we did a similar trip. And then I met Ben Bowler of Unity Earth in Australia. And the wisdom that brought us all together was so strong and so beautiful. And he and I became friends. And he said, we're going to get you guys to Japan. And we feel like you kind of set some of this in motion, even though we didn't know you then.
So, time isn't linear.
Yeah. It's just this beautiful circle
yeah.
coming together. And Mateo is a quarter Japanese. He has a family heritage story and connection to this place, and that's why we went last year, was to explore that. And then what ended up happening is while we were in Hiroshima together, something sort of opened up in, at least within myself, this ability to feel energy from the earth that we can now put into song, and that we're honing that ability together to share song that comes from the earth.
Mm.
And so this event, we've been invited by Unity Earth, and it is a continuation of what's called the U-Day Festival series. It's been happening all over the globe since 2012.
Cool.
And this is sort of the arrival point of everything they've built up. Until now, they've been to Thailand, Ethiopia, Jerusalem, and now they're doing a big ceremony at Hiroshima on September 21st.
What are your hopes and dreams for that? What would you like to have happen, you know, more specifically than just world peace?
Yeah. I would really like to set more of that visionary memory of what it's like when we all come together for there to be a global televised it's almost like Woodstock.
Yeah.
You know? Like this is the modern day Woodstock of what is the energy that actually does help?
Yeah.
What does change consciousness?
Yeah.
How do we let that sink in and make it real?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And people, if they want to support your trip,
yeah,
you guys have a GoFundMe.
We do.
That tell us where the, how you can find that.
Yeah, so we set up a website, mateoandshayla.com. We'll be releasing two singles within the next month.
And let me just say that's M-A-T-E-O and spelled out Shayla, shayla.com.
Yeah, okay. You got it. And our GoFundMe is linked on there, and we'll be updating the website. We'll be updating the GoFundMe as well. And the songs will soon be distributed. We're just kind of in the pending process of getting them out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, song is such an important way that we raise vibration. We all feel it. You know, you can listen to hear a song on the radio that reminds you of a, you know, beautiful person or time in your life, and you're immediately in a different state.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so powerful.
How do you quickly get in your heart?
Yes.
Sing.
Yeah.
Sing.
Well, Thank you so much, Shayla. This has been wonderful. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for listening today, beautiful audience. If you have questions for Shayla or me, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game. You can listen to past shows on Apple Podcasts as well. We thank you, Peter Mayer, for your beautiful music for this podcast. And until next time, open your heart to the land and to each other. And listen for the messages trying to reach you.
Clouds are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high, oceans gray. Winds are restless, trees are patient, you, my child, are away. Waves are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze. Storms are raging, atoms whirling, and you, my child, are awake to perceive thee. Child, far away.